Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This episode is brought to you by the Inspire Collection by Kalia. Just because you're working out doesn't mean you shouldn't look fabulous. The Inspire Collection by Kalia was designed with both style and performance in mind. It looks good, feels good, and stays put no matter how you move. And the collection has everything you need for a day at the gym. A support bra, crop tanks, bike shorts, amazing leggings, and more. It's their most versatile collection yet. Shop the Inspire Collection by Kalia now, exclusively at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parents in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice, and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because, let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parent in Hell with...
Can Jackson say Rob?
Rob.
Beckett.
Beckett.
And Josh.
Josh.
Widdicombe.
What did you?
Clever boy.
Duh.
There we go. Hi, Rob and Josh. This is my two-year-old son, Jackson, doing his intro to the sexiest, funniest and most relatable comedians. Absolutely love the podcast, so much so that I've recommended it to everyone I know. And I also have a voice note agreement with my friend in France where we share our Crosby's laws. That and the fact that whenever my husband and I lose our shit, we just calmly refer back to it as a milk tray incident. This podcast has potentially saved our marriage. Can't wait for the book and to come and see you next year in Birmingham, Katie. Ooh. And Jackson in Tamworth.
Yes.
Jackson is spelt with an X.
J-A-X-O-N.
Yeah.
Oh, sounds like a criminal.
Is he from the future?
Criminal from a future film. Jackson.
I vividly remember the first time I heard Miss Jackson by Outkast.
Yeah.
And I thought, this changes everything.
Why?
This is the greatest song I've ever heard.
Why did
I sat in a car waiting for my dad to come out of Spa in Bovey Tracy in Devon.
Come on, and try and keep it relatable, mate, all these showbiz stories.
I just vividly thought, this is how music should sound.
That was a good album. I like that album.
I don't know. For some reason, I've got such a vivid memory of it.
Yeah.
But there we go.
There you go. It's a good song. But spelt...
It is a good song, isn't
differently
it?
Differently to Jackson. How are you, Josh Widdicombe?
I'm all right. But do you know what? Do you want to hear something, Rob?
Yeah, always.
I am slightly struggling psychologically.
Okay. And what's the news? Isn't that standard issue?
Yeah, sorry.
I thought he was going to tell me something new. You didn't even acknowledge that, did you?
I didn't even understand.
Okay. I didn't even understand.
Oh, God. So, you may or may not know. Please do watch it. Hypothetical on Dave that I do with James Acaster. We're now doing a spin-off podcast series.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
The new series, yeah.
How many episodes are you doing?
10. Rob.
10?
Yeah. This is, Rob, today.
Yeah.
The fifth podcast I've recorded.
Don't you do that.
I am fucked.
Don't you do that. How long are the episodes?
An hour. This is the beginning of my fifth hour of podcasting today.
What about your football podcast? You still do that?
Yeah, but not today.
God, you love it. You do, don't you? You can't get enough of it.
Rob, if you could see how dead my eyes were, you wouldn't go, he loves podcasting. You go, that is a man who has nothing left to say. Ever.
Oh, dude.
Could I just tell you, though?
Yeah.
An anecdote I've got.
Well, I was going to say this because this comes from one of our podcasts. Talk about doing too many podcasts. One of our podcasts nearly didn't go up, did it? Didn't nearly go onto the internet. And this is the reason why.
And it was the one when we were announcing our book. So we had because when you announce a book, it's like there's all these timed things, like, because obviously there's a press release and there's when you do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you were quite stressed, but it doesn't really matter any of that.
No,
you know
I know
that.
It doesn't. I
they
know,
just say, but... oh, we're going to announce the book at 10 a.m. So it'd be good if the podcast is out before then. But like, that's,
I like things to be. I know. And to be honest, Rob, everyone's got fucking 8 months to buy the book, so I don't know what the advantage of 10 a.m. versus 8 a.m. is.
There's nothing.
But it was.
But you were really, you messaged me loads, going, are you up? I can't get through to Michael. The podcast isn't up. The book announcement's at 10 out of the book announcement. It's hardly like a new lockdown announcement. It's just a book's out in 8 months. You were like proper stressing.
Rob, this is the low bit. Because it was when Michael was stuck on holiday.
Yeah.
Still stuck on holiday. And I thought, I've got to phone him. His phone is going to answer phone.
Hang on, what time was this? It was in Solution. So he's in like American time.
Solution. So this was 7 a.m.
kind of holiday.
UK time.
That just annoys me. That's the kind of holiday you have when you don't have fucking kids. You go to St. Lucia because it's only 2 flights, not 4, and you're just there in St. Lucia. He's like Simon Cowell on a jet ski and we're Jedward. Absolute disgrace.
Do you know what? What we're going to find out in 6 years, like Jedward or someone like that, is that it'll turn out that St. Lucia was billed back to us all along. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. He recorded one podcast there, the whole trip was claimed back. See you in court. A bit like the Sex Pistols. Ill own Rob Beckett, the identity of me. I want to be able to call my kids, but that's the only reason I don't say my kids' names, because Michael will own them.
So I thought, I've got to get through to him because the podcast isn't up. And what can I do? I can't get through to his phone. So do you know what I did? I thought, I wonder if he's tagged himself in his location on Instagram. And he had.
Oh, you Insta-stalked him?
I went and said, wait, I follow him.
But he went through his posts.
I didn't go back through 2 years. It was the most recent post was tagged with the hotel. So I then phoned the hotel. I'm like, could you put me through to Michael, please? Michael Martin.
What time is this? 5 a.m.?
2 a.m. St. Lucian time.
2 a.m. St. Lucian time.
And they were like, we can't put you through, it's 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's an emergency.
Look, St. Lucia, I don't know if you know, there's a book about parenting out, and there's not been many, and that's coming out in 8 months. And if you think that I'm going to promote a book on a podcast after 10 a.m., You're on a different planet, buddy. So they wouldn't let you get through, obviously, because they're in a good hotel.
No. It's an emergency.
Did they ask you what emergency?
No. And I thought, I can't make one up.
You should have said, I'm pregnant.
I can't get through to Michael.
I'm pregnant.
Just so you know, yeah, your house hasn't burned down, but I am through now. So could you pop that podcast up?
We got a book to sell, bitch. Wakey, wakey. Yeah.
So they said phone back at 5 a.m. St. Lucian time.
Well, I'd rather get woke up at 2 a.m., wouldn't you? If you get woke up at 5 a.m., you're up for the day. If you get woken up at 2 a.m., you can get back to sleep.
So I phone up at 5 a.m. Yeah, exactly. I phone up at 5 a.m.
Why do you care so much, Josh?
Because when I get something in my head, I think, this has got to be done.
Or what?
I don't know, Rob. I just care about the wrong
things.
You do
care. No, it's good to care, but yeah, but you don't mind. You like a bit of admin. You haven't got much on in between your podcast records, Ring St. Lucia, about another podcast.
Jesus Christ, what am I doing with my life?
You're a bit too stressed, I think, mate. You need to be in St. Lucia. Stop ringing, mate. Get going.
While you're there, put me through and then put me in for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
a room for one, please. No, I'm coming on my own.
A writing retreat.
No, I won't be bringing a fucking microphone because I can't work.
I'm here to relax. I'll put me in for 3 months, one room, single occupancy.
This podcast, when we put the book announcement up, all the comments are like, yeah, fine, but where's the podcast, Matt, guys? Because I've got a commute this morning. It's people are building their lives around this. It's mad. Yeah, all right, well done. You're writing a book. Where the fuck is today's podcast, guys?
I do think for a free product, the anger that it was late was unacceptable. I was like, guys, can we all just relax?
Right. We should get on with our guest, Rob.
Yes, we should. It's a great guest.
Oh, God, I'm tired.
What's up?
But if you think I'm tired, listen to this, man. Never has anyone slept less with 3 years of a child.
Oh God, yeah, I forgot about that. This is great. Oh my, Tom Crane, if you feel like you're tired from your kids, listen to this and you'll feel like you've just been reborn.
Yeah.
He doesn't, he's had no sleep, has he?
No. If you think Tom Parry was tired, that was like 6 months in. This man is 3 years in. This is Tom Crane. Hello, Tom Crane.
Hi, Josh. How are you?
Good. Michael, the producer, gave a warning there before we started recording because he's worried that you're too worried about what people think about your relationship with your kids, that you're going to hold back.
Right, OK. So the warning was that basically I don't need to constantly explain that I love my kids. That's a given, basically.
That's a given on this show, Tom. I feel a bit like I've interrupted your little coffee catch-up because you two, this is quite interesting for me and the listener, that you two are like proper mates that hang out with kids a lot because you're near each other. So this is quite a window into what Josh is really like off mic, Tom, for us.
We went to the zoo on Sunday, Rob.
Yeah, but what about stuff with the kids?
It's just a lovely bit of business, isn't it? It's that kind of stuff.
All joking apart, I would happily go to the zoo with you, Josh, just for a day. I mean, literally, that'd be a nice afternoon.
Do you know what? Every time we go to the zoo, this is the worst thing. Me and Crane will have the discussion of whether it'd be nice to go without the kids, which is world to live in.
I've sort of gone off London Zoo because I did a corporate gig there and died on my ass.
Did you?
And the only people were laughing were the chimps in the distance. and it's burnt into me. I can't step foot back in that zoo.
Oh, brutal. My weird relationship with London Zoo is that the only thing... So Charlie is my eldest. He's 3 and a half. The only thing he cares about is this is the carousel. He doesn't care about anything else.
Yeah.
So the whole journey is basically just skipping past the animals as quickly as he can to get to this carousel in the middle.
Yeah.
So at which point, I don't know why we're bothering going to Camden, but he's so in love with this thing.
Yes.
He's so obsessed with it.
It's a completely fucking pointless thing, the zoo, because they don't... It's wasted on them because they don't realise how mad it is that there's a giraffe in London. They don't.
They
don't understand that shouldn't be happening.
It's more mental that it's in London because I imagine, you know, when you normally a zoo's in a big bit of land in the countryside, it was normally like some rich bloke's estate that then turned into a zoo. But the thought of just trying to get a giraffe out of a lorry and trying to find anywhere to park near Regent's Park is absurd.
So walking it through Camden, past the market. Trying to go,
bring it in on the canal.
Nothing worth buying in there, mate. Don't bother going in there. Trying to get. Yeah. No, I completely agree. So when we went on Saturday, the only thing we managed to see, me, my girlfriend, and our child, we saw one pelican. We had lunch in the had lunch in the cafeteria. Incidentally, they serve burgers and fish and chips, which feels a bit weird. I don't know. That feels a bit weird. And then we also went to the butterfly house.
Do you think it should be a vegetarian?
Feel that. Yeah. But I went to the London Aquarium and they have a fish and chip shop at the end of it. Feels weird. Does it not?
It is weird. It is a bit weird.
Like you can't like pick one out like at a posh restaurant with a lobster. It doesn't work like that. But you, the fact that this thing is at the end does feel off.
I was thinking as well, there must be people that went to Camden and did drugs, oblivious that there's a zoo around the corner and might have stumbled into it on a mad one.
You can see the giraffes poking over the wall sometimes. So there's a chance that you go out on a big one in Camden. You're walking back at 6 a.m. and the giraffe looks over the wall at you.
Josh knows about this. One of the things with my boy Charlie is that he doesn't want to walk anywhere, which is like really stressful.
Sorry, Tom, to interrupt. So you've got one boy, Charlie, is that right?
So I'll explain. Now, I have two children. I have a little boy called Pip, who's just turned one this weekend, and an older boy called Charlie, who I will, despite the warning, say I love very, very much. He's awesome. But he...
edit that out, Mike. Edit that out.
But Charlie, after like 3 footsteps, is like, I don't want to walk. I'm tired. My legs are tired. So I spend my entire life carrying him around. So at London Zoo, it's the same. Like, I was carrying him, as you'll know, John, I was carrying him all the way around the zoo. Like, everywhere I have to carry him.
How old is he?
I was always... He's 3 and a half. You know the parent you saw when... There's always one parent who's like pushing a pram and carrying their child at the same time. So it's an empty pram.
I'll say, when did you get the pram?
That's what it is with Charlie. So that's the only frustration of going out to the zoo and stuff, is I have to carry him everywhere.
So what happens if you put him... I get when there's no pram, but if you've got a pram, why won't you just get in the pram?
Well, we're trying to sort of get the pram out a bit, fade it out a bit. To try and make him walk more. We're using the scooter thing he goes around on, but that just means I end up carrying the scooter and him.
Try 2 kids, 2 scooters, carrying both during lockdown. I did that across a park, and I was livid. Oh, so hot and tired, and everything was so heavy.
Do you have the thing where you make them promise beforehand that definitely won't happen? Each time I'm like, okay, so if we're going to take the scooter, just to be clear, Charlie, you will be on the scooter there and back. And they're like, yeah, of course I will. He's looking me dead in the eye, like he actually respects me. And then we'll get like halfway to the park.
Have you considered pushing on the scooter? Can't you put him standing on the scooter and then push the scooter?
I get lower back problems.
Oh, right.
I do get lower back problems.
That's probably from carrying your fucking kid. Around the zoo. Up.
You were near me complaining about my back. That's
because you're what? How tall are you? 6'1"? 6'2"?
6'2". Yeah.
6'2". Yeah. So that, cause I find it a bit of a hunch on the back, and I'm only 5'8" to get down to the scooter. So what about a bigger scooter? And then he holds on the bottom bit of the scooter, and then you could pull him along.
I'm going to say it. I'm not going to throw these things around with many of our guests, but I think Tom's lower back problems are partly psychosomatic, okay. Rob. And the reason I'm saying that is his girlfriend told me that when they were trying prams, he claimed to have got lower back problems from a pram when trying it from one side of John Lewis.
That is true.
The other.
That is true. I did. It hurt. I felt
a twinge. Which John Lewis? The blue one's massive. How far was the walk?
It was the one near Oxford Circus. I did one full lap and it hurt.
Yeah.
It did hurt. So
it's the flagship store. That's the flagship store, to be fair.
Exactly. But... yeah, but there is a point of frustration.
My oldest doesn't walk at all, and then my youngest loves walking and stuff. So when it was the first lockdown, and she was only two, the youngest, she'd get boogie woogie loud out for an hour walking around with the pram. The eldest, who was four, would not get out of the pram at all for the entire walk and just eat some sandwiches. It was like a double buggy thing. And then the 2 year old would get out even though she was 2 years younger because she was bored and walk a bit. So it's just different kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's right, because our younger boy already, he's only just turned a year, but he's desperately going around on this sort of like trundle thing, which he's really physical, and he already dominates his older brother. Like Charlie's got this plastic toy car that he sits in the living room.
He's being physically dominated by a one-year-old.
He completely is. Yeah, well, that's not a lie at all. So there's this plastic car that Charlie sits in and pretends to drive around, and then Pitt will come in and basically pull him out of it and then sit in it himself. Like, he's a year old. It's absolutely mad. And Charlie will be going, Dad, Pitt's pushed me, Pitt's pushed me. Pip is short for Philip, but he's not a Philip, he's a Pip, that's what we call him. But really, really physical, really kind of, and already you can see the difference how quickly these things sort of like their personality comes out so early.
Are you worried he's going to be bullying Charlie within years?
I don't think he'll be bullying, but I think he'll be. He'll be the tough one, I think, in school that looks after his brother who's 2 years older than him. I think that's going to be it.
His brother is in year 11, calling on his brother is in year 8.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. My brother, who's 2 years younger, he's going to sort you out. But it's amazing how quickly these things come out.
Now, I feel like we should discuss sleeping, because that's kind of a big deal in your life. Or isn't, as the case may be. How bad is Charlie as a sleeper? Or has he been?
I don't think we've... I think I've had three good nights sleep in 3.5 years. I think that is about right.
Not including going away, working away from home?
And I've discounted the couple of times we've been away and, take that as a given. But actually, that's annoyingly, isn't take it as a given, because I've got into such a rhythm of waking up 5 or 6 times in a night that even when we stay in a hotel together, I wake up 5 or 6 times in a night because my mind is now...
So
it's bad.
So what's the six? Because he's three. Was he three and a half now? So what's the situation currently? Yeah. What's the sleep pattern like now?
The situation currently. So occasionally we'll get 2 or 3 days of good sleep, something like that. But that never coincides with the younger brother sleeping well as well. That's another point we'll come to. His younger brother isn't sleeping particularly well either. But Charlie will for 2 months, 3 month periods have really bad sleeping, where he'll be up maybe 4 times in a night. You then add the brother, who'll also be up 3 times. So it's quite feasibly be up 7 or 8 times in a night across them.
Jesus.
At which point I would say, it's not a night of sleep anymore. It's not, what is that? I don't know what that is. I mean, I'm having like 15 minute chunks at best. I'm not going into deep sleep. And then I'm hearing that awful, you know, that white noise, that some noise that comes on the monitor before you hear the crying. It's a sort of eerie wind noise, and you know something's going to happen. Either way, it's woken me up. Whether it spirals or it's nothing, it's woken me. It's done the job. I'm up. Well done. Whatever. You rolled over, or you're about to cry. Either way, you've ruined that, what could have been 40 minutes of sleep. So you hear this noise, and I wake there, and I'm going, what's this going to be? Is it going to be the usual? And of course, it normally is the usual, which means I go in to see Charlie. Charlie doesn't want to see me, so me going in makes the situation worse. He gets quite loud, and then he wakes his brother, Pip, who's upset. So he's going as well. Now they're both going in tandem. So Claire will come in and try and calm down Charlie. I'll have to go and do Pip. And just the whole thing's an absolute mayhem. And there's this merry-go-round of one waking up the other, round and round and round and round again. Now, he's always had problems like this from the very beginning. Like when he was a baby, it was exactly the same. He had like allergies and stuff. He always had problems like this growing up. I think it's sort of like based in things when he was a young baby. But I can't remember. I think I can remember maybe two or three nights. I can remember the nights when I've had a good night's sleep.
So what would consist of a good night's sleep? That is quite bad. What's a good night's sleep then? Just like a guy, if he's had a good one, what would those two or three nights consist of?
So, okay. So for me, a good night's sleep now, if Claire and I would turn to each other in the morning and say, oh, that was good. If, let's say we went to bed at 10, we woke up at midnight, then we woke up at 2, and then we woke up at 4. If we woke up three times, we would react like we'd won the World Cup in the morning. Like, it would be unbelievable celebrations.
Even now?
Yeah, so three wake-ups would be a cause for, I can't believe what an incredible night that was. Like, yeah, so that would be proper joy. Yeah.
What, now or back when they were little?
No, now, still now.
Now?
Still now, yeah.
Fuck, so, Tom.
Yeah, I know. But Charlie's always had weird things. Like, there was a long period for about 5 months when he was about 1.5 where I could only get him to sleep by singing Under Pressure by Queen. So he must have been about 2 because he was saying the words. He was just basically saying, he was trying to tell me what the song was. So I'd have to sing this song, Under Pressure, God. Looking down and me rubbing his back slowly.
Did you do the verse?
I don't even know.
He does Bowie and Freddie Mercury.
All the parts. But he's always had this.
Would you do the bass bit? Because the bass bit's the most iconic.
On your lips for a bit of banter.
But there's also things like we've always had to. I remember when he was like, he really got obsessed with his football coach, who's called Coach Jason, got really, really obsessed with this guy called Coach Jason. And another way we'd have to get him to sleep was to reassure him that Coach Jason was also sleeping. So that happened for quite a while. So long conversations before bed.
Bless him.
Just to let you know that Coach Jason is also asleep now. He's tucking himself into bed. Like, Coach Jason is like in his late 30s, and this was like 7 o'clock at night. And I'm trying to convince Charlie that this football coach is getting into bed. But all these weird things he'd have, he's very, very sweet. It's just a part of it. He's got an unusual child. He's, you know, it's just the way he is. But the sleep is still just terrible, yeah.
This is, like, obviously, it's quite extreme. I'd say your version of a good night is sort of like you'd have sort of early doors of sleeping. So have you had to try to speak to a sleep consultant or something to see what you can do?
Yeah, so we actually had a sleep consultant over last night, actually. We thought we'd got to do something about this. And so we did have someone over last night to try and help. But it's that trying to change their relationship with feeding. And like Pip, for example, he wakes up during the night and thinks he wants milk on a number of occasions.
Right.
And probably doesn't. So trying to help change that. But I'm still sort of clinging on to the idea that the younger one is a good sleeper. I can't. Josh always point. You always say to me, Josh, that I constantly have to say it's going to be all right. It's fine. It's going to be all right. And you,
it is what it is. It is what it is.
And then you'll say to me,
and
it's all right.
Is it what it is? Does it have to be what it is?
But I would say for me not to have a breakdown, it has to be okay. I have to say it's going to be okay. What sort of life do you... I don't know what you expect me to go. I can't just go, oh, yeah, it's a disaster. It's never going to resolve itself.
No, I understand.
I have to have some kind of thick person's hope that it's going to be all right, basically.
I never realised how bad that was. I knew, like, you know, Josh mentioned the, like, in the podcast, oh, Tom's child doesn't sleep as, like, that well and stuff. But I didn't realise it was still now up, like, three or four times a night. So what, a bad night is basically up every hour?
Yes, it would be, yeah. That's about right. Or and sometimes a number of times in the hour, but then there'll be a portion later in the night from maybe 3 or 4 o'clock, you might get a bigger wodge. So,
yeah.
Oh, so consolidate his wake-ups into one easy...
exactly, yeah.
One mega hour. That's what you want.
Like an omnibus.
Can we do all these wake-ups in the first 2 hours? Let's get them all over with. Do 6 at the start, and then we can sleep through.
Well, that's a dream, but it's few and sort of few and far between. But it's been the extent that we've gone to try and stop him from waking is ridiculous. We went on a family holiday to Norfolk last year, and Charlie was sleeping in the room next to the toilet. And so to make sure that we didn't wake him up by using the toilet during the night, we came to the decision, Claire and I, to urinate in a bucket throughout the night by our bed. So that's like, we just thought, well, that's the only option, because otherwise he'll be up constantly. So that is what we did. That's what we did. Yeah.
So you must have tried everything. What about the rub on the nose? People used to say all you got to do is rub them on the nose. Imagine if you haven't tried that and tonight you rub them on the nose and they sleep for 8 hours.
But he gets so attached to things that he would then need that rub on the nose constantly. This is the way it works, is that he forms attachments to whatever you do. So that's the problem with trying things that he'll become too reliant on. This is why I ended up singing Under Pressure for 6 months, because that's what he needed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The thing is, you're so chirpy about it. But I find...
Well, it is what it is, Josh. There's no other way. You've got to let the man have hope. Don't talk him out of chirpiness. Don't go, oh, well, you should be more miserable about this.
There have been times where Josh has been visibly annoyed at me for not being more annoyed. So when... You've looked sort of quite sort of openly when me and you have been together at the last leg, because we write together. Sometimes you'll go, it's all right, Tom. You can't. It's okay for it not to be okay.
I'm looking for some kind of fight. Yeah.
Exactly. But I just need. I need to tell myself it's going to be okay, because that's just what else is there.
God. How would you be in this situation, Rob?
I mean, I think I'm a bit more Tom's side of things, of trying to be positive and stuff and just trying different techniques. But you hope they'll grow out of it. And 3 and a half is still fairly young. So you hope that you might turn a corner or something. Yeah. And
do you know what a real positive is? Your relationship is definitely going to last. Because if it hadn't gone in the last 3 and a half years, do you know what I mean? That is the extreme a relationship could be put under.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or the argument is they're too tired to have an affair. Imagine that, I'm having an affair. Who with anyone? That don't touch me, I'm here to sleep.
You can't sneak out in the night and return, because they're going to wake up and see that there's an empty space in the bed about 7 to 8 times during the night. So yeah, completely. But no, I think it's you're doing it together.
It'll work itself
exactly. I mean, you know, like he's an interesting chap. He's my little lad. He's kind of it's the same as me. He's a real worrier. So something will concern him, and he'll obsess on it, and he'll bring it up months later. So like, let's see, he's watching a cartoon and someone has a worried face on it. He'll want to talk to me about it, often like 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, which comes, he's very sort of empathetic, very sweet child, but he's also a worrier. And I think that's partly where this sleep comes from, because he's worried about things in the night and blah, 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 and wants to wake up and chat about things.
If he knew what was going on globally at the moment, If he understood the implications of the current international news, he'd be in serious
trouble.
Say
goodbye to my 36 minutes of sleep. Yeah, exactly.
Isn't there a piece of graffiti that worries him, so you have to take a different route to nursery?
Yeah, so this is mad. This is on our road. There's a piece of sort of like, it's got brightly coloured spray paint graffiti, this face, which he calls the scary eyes, which is on someone's garage. It's quite a cool piece of art, I guess. And but he's so worried about going past this piece of graffiti that we can't walk up that road anymore, despite the fact that is by far the quickest way to get to the main road and to get to nursery. So instead, we have to go the most scenic route around East London you could possibly imagine. It's mad.
Which isn't that scenic in East London.
No, it's not that scenic. Yeah, quite. But and we even have to drive down different routes. We can't go that way to the main road if he's in the car. We have to go different routes.
Will he just get really upset then? And cry and things.
Yeah,
if he
sometimes is willing to sort of close his eyes, put his hands over his eyes, and we sing a song, silly eyes, all this sort of thing, as he's going past, which kind of makes him laugh, joke. Smelly feet, all this sort of nonsense. But most of the time, he doesn't really want to go past it. Other times, he'll want to sort of confront it. It's kind of interesting how the mind of a child works. Fear is a strange thing. There's part of them wants to approach it and deal with it. So occasionally, he'll be like, oh, can we go and see it? There's a lot going on with him there, and which I also kind of admire, because he is scared of that, and sometimes he does want to go and see it, but it doesn't make our life unbelievably easy because we're having to take 52 left turns to get to where I can see the end of our road. I can see the main road from our road. We just need to drive to it, but instead we have to go past every other house with 3 mile radius. Last Christmas, you and Rose kindly bought us because I watched that documentary on Basquiat. And you bought us obviously a print, not an original, of a piece of Basquiat.
I'm not made of money.
Which we've got up on our landing. There's a sort of scary face in the middle of it, which Charlie has now made me stick a post-it note over with a smiley face over. So I've had to draw a smiley face on a post-it note and stick it on this scary face, which is on the piece of art. So he obviously faces and things like this do worry him.
Well, he's obviously very sort of like in tune to all that stuff, isn't it? And gets he's worried and fearful. Because I don't know what age you can go to see like a child psychologist, I imagine. Because if he's like that in the day, then it's obviously that's what's worrying him at night, isn't it? Keeping him up.
It does feel like that must be the same thing as the sleep, right?
Yeah, I think there's probably links there. But I mean, I think it also manifests itself in ways that are quite sweet. Like the nursery, say, whenever there's a child who looks a bit sad or whatever, he will be very aware of it and want to go and tell someone or go and help, or he's sort of very in tune with how people are reacting and what face they're showing. He'll be like, why is that man worried? Why is that man whatever? So
why don't you just look really sad when you have to drive all around the houses? Just go really sad and see if he picks up on it.
If you looked more sad about, I've been telling you to be more sad about the sleep thing. Yeah. That's the solution.
Oh, there we go.
Are you empathetic or are you scared? Pick a fucking lane, kid. Daddy's it's £2 a litre of petrol here. Let us go the quick route home. We're losing money time now, son.
Oh, man. And so did you... I mean, it's weird when I ask a question because I kind of almost...
Yeah.
I almost know the answer. But, well, I'll just ask this question.
How big is your cock, Tom? Is that the... You know, yeah.
Tap you on the shoulder with it. You can tell me. What's your question?
No wonder you got lower back pain. Jesus.
I was basically going to ask a question that led to you telling Rob that you went to see a sleep therapist. You went to see a feeding person after 2 weeks, and you're so tired that you ended up... Well, you tell Rob, because it's weird when you're interviewing someone you know the answer.
Well, this was a bad
sounds
day.
Sounds like
anyway.
Bloody Boris Johnson, a press conference with his appointed reporters.
Yeah, lovely.
Laura Koonsberg, more like Laura Conservative Party, am I right? Is that something you do on
Rob,
the last week?
That's nice.
Is that good?
That's good.
Yeah. Fucking bloody BBC, awesome. Whoever it is that we don't like now.
British Broadcasting News. Conservatives, that's what I call them.
More like
am I right?
Sky Blur, more rather than Sky News. Right, guys? That's Sorry, Tom, carry on.
No, I enjoyed it. It made me think and laugh. I like it. It's kind of an exciting place to be.
What were you thinking? Is this funny or not?
I can't wait till this is over. That's what I was thinking. No,
I can't wait for him to stop doing this.
So I know what you're talking about. So that was a sort of a weird week in general. Basically, Charlie had these sort of milk allergy sort of things. We thought he might have milk allergy. He wasn't.
Oh, my daughter had milk allergy. She had to go on to formula that was lactose free for a bit.
Yeah,
and then now
it's
we
a
did
nightmare.
Milk ladder, and she's all over the chocolate now.
Yes. And the milk. No, same here. So Charlie can have everything now, but there was a point where they were trying to work out what's going on. We'd been to UCLH that day for a consultation, and we'd been sat in the waiting room for ages, and all the other parents left. It'd been like 3 hours, and there was a Wendy house in there. And I said to Claire, oh, we're so bored. Do you want to get in the Wendy house? So Claire got in the Wendy house. It was like there was no other adults in there, at which point, of course, the doctor came out and called our names. So there was Claire sticking her head out the Wendy house. That I know the reason I remember that is because that afternoon we went to see that we went to see a feeding consultant because about his latch down in South London, and I was sort of so stressed about going to see this person that I thought I was just gonna, you know, I've no idea what's going on. I think I was quite anxious, to be honest, as a parent when I first after Charlie was first born.
Yeah.
I wasn't really I don't know how you describe it. I just don't think I quite understood what a huge change it was, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
I remember
you saying to me when my daughter was a few weeks old. No, it must have been a few months old, because we had the bouncer, you know, the classic bouncer.
Yeah.
And at that time, Claire was pregnant, and you said, so do you just like pop her in the bouncer and then you can like just get up on with work at the table? And I thought, Oh my God, this is going to be a huge shock to this. Your view that they do 8 hours in the bouncer in the day while you were tapping away at the table.
Basically do a 9-to-5 in there. I think I just hadn't really appreciated what it was. And I remember that, like, on the day that he was born, it was great. It was wonderful, etc. But I also felt a real sort of...
That etc. was doing a lot of legwork in that sentence.
But you know, that's
that was a
heavy,
classic. Did you actually enjoy it? Or was it a very horrible, anxious time? But you have to go, it was great, obviously, because that's what's expected, etc.
Well, I mean...
The rocking back and forth, the crying inside, the worried look on your face, the helplessness, etc. It was a great day.
Think he will. Look, as long as he's a good sleeper, then it's going to be fine. but I do remember that feeling of just this life being there and it being like, oh, this is it now. As in, it's everything has changed in a way that I hadn't quite anticipated, I think. And I felt sort of very sort of, almost it was like, it reminded me of like that physical feeling of, like a feeling of homesickness, kind of weirdly. When you're younger, it's like a chest feeling of like, I don't feel completely in control of this. I may, you know, maybe a lot of other people. I think in a weird way, I was given some advice before Charlie was born, which was, when you first hold your child, when it's first being born, you'll never feel a feeling of elation, and it'll be like you're this is what. And I kind of wish I hadn't been told that, because I don't think that is necessarily the case for people.
No.
I love my children so much. They are just, I know that's what we're talking about.
Here we go.
But they are I'm very lucky to have them, and I think they're wonderful. I really do. But wish I hadn't been told beforehand that I would, on that moment, on that day, hold him and just feel nothing other than, oh, great, you know, angels and all this sort of stuff singing. But it wasn't really what happened. I actually felt quite sort of anxious and kind of stressed.
Yeah, I think that's a really bad thing to tell people, because it feels like there's a pressure on it for you to live this moment in the way other people have lived it.
Yes.
Which I just think is very unhealthy.
You'll feel guilt if you don't feel happy, like you're bad and you don't care, but it's not true. You're just
worried. I think that's exactly it. Anyway, to
it felt like an elephant had landed on my to-do list. Like a big fucking weight. Boom. Fuck. Everything. I've got so much to do now.
I remember that moment when I thought, fuck, this doesn't end.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like everything else I've had in my life before that is a lot of work, or it is stressful, or it is difficult, I've gone, well, at least in 3 months, that will have ended. Or at least Edinburgh is 26 days.
Yeah.
But this is forever. This is it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway. But I love my kids.
You don't have to say that, Josh. You don't have to say that.
I think Josh had to after that line. I do think Josh had to after that line, to be fair, Tom.
I did give a
you know I remember 2 weeks in, coming back, and I'd been at work during the last leg or something. I got back at like 6 p.m. and it was like straight in, and I had no sleep, and I was feeling very, very low. And I remember my mother-in-law saying to me, the thing you've got to remember is you're only ever as happy as your unhappiest child. And I thought, why are you saying this to me at this moment? This is not what I need at this moment. Why didn't you say that to me 10 months ago? Anyway.
You remember, Josh.
My three children are very happy and so am I now.
You and Rose, like, admittedly, you'll admit, had found the first sort of 4 months kind of quite stressful, or whatever it was, Charlie was born, like 5 months in or whatever. And we went to your house and we'd had dinner with you, and you and Rose told us for about half an hour how stressful it all was, and like it never ends, the sleep's terrible, etc., etc. Like the longest tirade of don't do this, just don't do this.
And ironically, they underplayed it for you.
Well, it ended with us going, well, actually, we've got some news. And that's when we told you that we were...
Oh, is that what you told them? Oh, no.
But it was 45 minutes of the most... basically, some of the descriptions were horrific. What we were... Oh, and it was like, God. Oh, okay. Anyway, just to wrap up the story, the point is, I was quite stressed at the beginning. I went to see this rather posh sleep consultant, and midway through the appointment with her, she noticed I was wearing two left shoes. That's what the story is. I was wearing two Nike Cortezes, both left feet on my... and I have never been so embarrassed. And she gave me a look as if to say, there's a reason your child is not feeding. It's because you're an idiot. You're an idiot. That's why.
At the UPS store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
My moments I remember from my first year, the two left shoes, and also being at your London wedding, Josh, with Charlie. Now, remembering that Charlie's a warrior, walking up to a little park near it and seeing a pigeon... saying to Charlie, oh, look at the pigeon, should we go and see that pigeon? And walking across, and the pigeon was lacking its head had come off. There was literally no sign of the head. And but that sticks with me as a really sort of early memory of sort of bad parenting, basically. Yeah. And trying to
but that's not
Charlie
your fault
away from it.
That would only be bad if you decapitated the pigeon yourself and lay it there to surprise him. That would
Thank
be bad
you,
parenting.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this is a lesson about life and death.
Yeah.
Do you, you're a very positive person. I actually have never really probably asked you about this, but like, I don't see you and Claire arguing much, even in these heightened kind of emotional situations. Is that because you've got to be positive in all situations, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously you have points where you're stressed and you're maybe sort of shorter than you should be or what it happens to be, but it's all we resolve things very, very quickly, and we don't let things linger or hang. So never really spirals into an argument at all. I mean, it'd be lying to say that there aren't moments where you're exhausted, it's 4 a.m, you're not both delighted and going, I know we're both awake, but at least we can snog. We're not like that. It's kind of, we're stressed.
Snog. Oh my God, the thought of me saying that to Lou. Look, we're up anyway, fancy a bit.
Yeah, I don't put on.
Do email in if you're the kind of couple who, when woken by a child in the middle of the night, takes the opportunity to have sex. Because I don't believe that.
After you've settled the baby back to sleep, not
of course, to
the chorus of them crying. That I don't want that email. I think you should report yourself, take yourself to the police. My eldest was a bit of a worrier sometimes. I wouldn't say to that extreme of the new route to school, but there's certain things. Yeah. But like, she's got a little bit better with her younger sister. She's a little bit more like yours, where a little bit more like a throw herself in and to things. Yeah. And actually, it brings the older one out of their shell a little bit, because they and also you think that I was quite anxious with our firstborn. I think they do pick up on it a little bit, but the second one, obviously, you're more relaxed for. They sometimes bring it out of their shell, because if she goes, "Well, I'll do that," then the older one goes, "Well, I should be able to do that because she's younger than me and she's doing it." So it might sort of, they might help each other out a little bit, if you know what I mean.
No, I think that's definitely the case, and that, I think that's true about the experience of not being less anxious the second time round. I mean, this last year has gone. I can't believe that our one-year-old is now one. I can't believe that it's gone so fast. But the experience of the first time round is those weeks can feel very slow with your first parent.
Especially using lockdown, wasn't you? So like that, he wouldn't have met many 2 years of like, that's quite an important time, isn't it? From the age of like 1 to 3, those 2 years are very important, aren't they? With socialising and stuff and groups and play.
Yeah, so a lot of that wasn't there. And then you had sort of periods where you had to self-isolate for like 14 days. I think they had to do that like 3 times with Charlie and all these sort of things. And those are quite strange experiences early on. But I do think the second time around it sort of, it goes much quicker, because I remember sort of you'd count down the days. Oh, if we can make it to 3 weeks, all this sort of stuff. When we get to a month, things will be much easier. All that sort of stuff first time. Do your kids occasionally, they'll sort of, if they're annoyed at you, they'll... It's that, well, we're not friends anymore, I don't love you. There's all this sort of stuff they chuck in.
Yeah.
He was saying the other day, at bedtime, like about a week ago, he wanted Claire to do it, but Claire was upstairs with Pip and I was doing his bedtime. He was saying, "No, Daddy, you know, I don't want you here. I'm going to put you in the neighbour's garden." He kept saying that, "I'm going to put you in the neighbour's garden," which is quite, I don't know if that's, at least I'll be close by. I suppose that's quite sweet.
Okay, you should go, I'll drive past the graffiti. Two complain that again. Get back in his head.
Already that testing, that pushing, isn't it?
Yeah. I think I'm all right with it. Do you know the problem with it now is my daughter, when she says stuff like, "You're not my best friend anymore," it's quite funny.
Yeah, it is.
So it's mainly trying to keep a straight face, because I know it's very serious for her. But for me, I'm like, she sounds like such an idiot that I do find it quite funny, because it's like, it's so... She's a bit, I don't know, there's something about the how dramatic it is, the slightly weird phrasing, the fact she's decided that that's the thing that's going to hurt me. It's difficult for me to keep a straight face in that situation. Does that make me a monster?
No, I think it's quite... I think you have to accept, because they go, "You're not my friend anymore." And I go, "Okay, well, yeah, you, friends come and go. Sometimes you've got friends, sometimes you haven't. There'll be new ones around the corner." And try to make it more flippant, right? Because it means so much when they're little. And because that's what I... Because when my daughter sometimes struggles to sleep and gets a bit like, "Oh, I'll have bad dreams, I'll have nightmares," and all that kind of stuff. But I used to go like a bit like you know, really sort of like a woke parent, and be like, "Let's talk it through. Yeah, so how do you feel?" But actually, sometimes you're better off just going, just fucking ignore it. Like, you can, especially with anxiety. Personally, if I talk about something for ages, it makes it worse. I just need to get on with it and do it. So I think sometimes you can get yourself in a worse position by talking about it too much and allowing it to fester, because you sort of legitimize it then. And that's what we found. And then that, you know, recently she said, "Oh, I can't go to sleep because my brain's telling me this." My brain, and I went, "That voice in your head," she was like, "You went, just ignore it. It's just a suggestion. Just ignore it. It's just being silly. It's stupid. Ignore it." And then and try and go down that route rather than going and trying to find like the root cause of why there's that voice. You know what I mean? That's
otherwise you turn into me. Otherwise you turn into me, constantly analysing every moment for shame or worry for their whole life. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was doing. I was going, "But what? Why do you feel like that?" It was happening. Just like, don't you stop searching for an answer and just sort of try and sort of shut it down or distract from it. Like when I was talking before, my daughter said, "I don't care about you," and wouldn't hold my hand. And then I was just saying like, "Okay, don't hold my hand. Then that's fine." And now she started holding my hand. She went, "I'm holding your hand, but with my sleeve, not my hand." And I was like, "Oh, okay, yeah, fine. Let's do that if you want." And it actually had more of an impact than talking about it.
I love it when kids come up with those sort of those loophole things. We were doing Charlie's potty training a little while ago, and we did one of those sort of things where you get if you do it five times, you get five stickers and you've got to get a magazine from the shop at the top of the row. So we put this poster on the wall, and every time he got five stickers, he'd get a magazine, basically. And then I noticed he was breaking up one single toilet stop into a number as a way of getting quite a few stars. So he goes.
Well, so he's causing himself some kind of long-term like piles or something by doing that kind of.
No, he'd go and do a bit of a wee or whatever happens to me, and then he'd come to me and he'd go, "Can I have a star?" And I go, "Yeah." And then he'd go and finish the wee, and he'd come back again and get a second clever star.
The bladder control of a 3-year-old, though, is incredible.
It is, yeah, it's amazing.
When does he start school, Tom? Is it this September or next September?
He starts in September, this September, yeah.
Is he excited about that, or is he a bit worried? How do you feel about him going to big school?
He's feeling okay. I mean, there's friends from his nursery that are going. That's good. And he's quite eccentric with you, Josh. He's quite an unusual sort of child. He's very sort of independent and always wanted to sort of play his own little games, stuff like this. But he's really getting a good friendship group now as well, which is lovely. So it's kind of because you worry, oh, will he? Maybe he'll be on his own a little bit, but it's really not proving to be that case. And I think it's providing him, he's really pleased that his friends are going there. And
that's nice.
He's excited about it. Yeah, he is. I'm excited about it as well.
I'm very nervous about my daughter going to school.
Really?
Yeah, I find it very stressful, the thought of like that first day or the drop off. I think it's probably much bigger in my head than it is in hers.
They'll totally feed off you. Me and Lou had this conversation of just like, just don't keep talking, don't change, just be very calm and let it go. Don't, because you can be like, oh no, let me sort your uniform. Ugh. And they feed off your stress.
Yeah.
100%. So I think the key, the best thing you can do is try and be calm within yourself.
I've barely mentioned it to her, but that's because I'm trying to bury it down deep inside my own worries, Rob. I've got...
Okay, you've gone too far the other way.
I've gone too far the other way.
So how calm do you mean? Do you mean sort of like barely giving them a nod at the school gate when you drop them off the first day?
No, not at all. But it's that sort of like, don't grab, when you're walking in, don't grab their hand and walk them in unless completely. They want to grab your hand. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. Don't be there for them, but don't be like, oh, and then like, and then me and Lou were like, well, don't go this way. We're going to be late for you. And we're sort of bickering because we're stressed about it isn't our kids starting school. It's our baby being a grown up, like, you know, becoming a girl, like a proper kid. Yeah. That's what is distress. Not that she's got to sit in a room with a group of kids in all the same clothes, which essentially is what isn't it? She's going to sit in a room with loads of other kids her age, which will be fun, in the same clothes and be excited and love it. But we were telling each other, like, no, giving each other a look. And we're getting stressed because of something else. And then they'll pick up on that kind of thing. But, not just, like, launch them out the car and speed off listening to 80s music.
Sayonara.
Yeah.
You're on your own now, mate.
Yeah, of course. I mean, because my memories of primary school was a joy to me. I loved primary school. Secondary school was the one. Secondary school is the one you want to worry about.
I think this is bad, mate.
That can be really difficult. I once caught my reflection, Josh, in year 10 in a mirror in the toilets, and my spots were so bad that I just walked home. I just left. I just went home.
Oh, Tom.
I was like, I can't be around like this. I'm just going to walk home. So that's what I did. Got back on the bus. I went all the way back home. Hit the top of Anna downhill and went home at 3:30. That's true. Anyway. Is what it was.
Skyvick.
So it's remarkable how your son's like this, a little bit nervous of things. So. Mad. Can't see where it's come from. Yeah, bolt out the blue.
Do you feel like he's you and Pip is Claire?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I do. I think Charlie's so much like me. Yeah, he thinks about things a lot. And kind of, you were saying there, Josh, about how you sort of overanalyze things. I definitely have that. I like, sometimes I'm really stressed. I lie down in the shower. This is my thing. I'll put the shower on and I'll lie down in the shower and I'll sort of like go over everything that sort of worried me. But I do hope I'm not
face down or face up.
It depends how bad the day's been, Rob, to be honest. It's
with a plug-in.
Increasingly face down. But I would say that I would like to think I'm not imparting this on him. I actively am not trying to be worried. I'm not like that. I'm not really.
Of course.
Not.
Oh no, of course no.
But But it's interesting that he does still, he has those traits, and you see them. But Pip is far more just like stubborn and kind of has these, I'm gonna, you know, and Claire has these traits, as she would admit. It's interesting. But you know what? I love them both. You know that.
Well, no, we do that. Me and Lou have been trying to do that. Like when you see spiders in the house, and Lou's like that, and then like the kids start going, and I'm like, Lou, if you didn't scream, they wouldn't have screamed there. They are literally copying your scream.
So Charlie's now freaked out by the butterflies we talked about earlier about at London Zoo, because Claire has a genuine phobia of butterflies, tried to deal with it and take him through it, and just failed completely, just freaked out when these monarchs were sort of landing on her or whatever. And he's now, Charlie's like, oh God, despite, and I'm trying to go, these things are small, they can't hurt you. But he's seen Claire react like a lion's gone.
In many ways, when you're saying they're small and can't hurt you, you're undermining his mum, Craig. But you've made the decision, it's more important that he's not scared of butterflies than he respects his mum. That's the decision you've made there.
Yeah, but it's butterflies, isn't it? I mean, come on.
Well, I've had to do that with theme parks and stuff like that, and rides. I hate any rides like that, but they want to go on stuff. So it's only the little dragon ride at Legoland, but that was a huge deal for me. And the kids were like bowled on it, didn't give a shit. And I'm like, oh, yeah, the next one. And I'm like hyperventilating, trying to find an asthma pump, going, oh, my God, I've done the dragon ride. It's so pathetic, but trying to hold it together so much. But like, then you've got me, you're supposed to be open and honest with your kids, but then also I'm completely bottling it up and petrified going on this fucking ride. Like, that can't be the right thing to do, can it?
Have you, when we talked about earlier about worry, can I ask you something? I don't know if either of you have done this. When you're reading stories to your kids, if there's bits in there that, do you sort of redact parts of the story? If there are bits that are sort of worrying
about it?
Yeah, it's not. I'm not alone in that, am I? Yeah.
You know those ones you get where it's like famous people? So it's like inspirational famous people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're like a classic Christmas gift you'd receive.
Yes.
So we've got the Ella Fitzgerald one.
Okay.
Where her mum is killed in a road accident.
Oh, God.
And then
she's put
into a home for orphans, and then they treat her really badly, so she leaves. And so is a straight...
So what do you skip to?
Well, I'd been great at jazz singing. Right. That's the main body of the book. But yeah.
Yeah, so it's with Stickman. Stickman's the one with us. So there's a bit where Stickman's frozen in the snow, which we can't read. Another bit where he's put in the grate. So all these bits are skipped.
You know them stories about people? You know, we've got that Amelia Earhart one, because it's about a lot of them about famous women.
Oh, yeah, she dies.
Yeah, so she dies. But the whole thing's about how she's an amazing pilot and stuff like that. But she dies flying the fucking plane. So how good is she?
You had one job, Amelia.
And I mean, it's good that she's trying to go around the world in one go. It's a fair play. But you sort of think, oh, right, okay. So she was really sick, but she didn't do it.
That's the real lesson. Never dream.
They basically, what they need, kids' books, alternate endings, depending on what your child's like. So it can be a really soft ending.
That's also known as propaganda.
Let's just
change it to what feels best. And everything was all okay.
You could have Stickman on a pyre of sort of burning sticks at the end, losing all his friends.
Yeah, but I would say falling in a bit of water, that's not too bad, is it, falling in a bit of water? That's what happened to Amelia Earhart, to be fair. Depends on the height, doesn't it?
As a man, Tom, that struggles to criticise, which is an admirable trait,
okay,
I think you'll struggle with our final question, which is why I'm so excited about asking it.
Okay, yeah.
Which is, we always like to end by asking, based on Matthew Crosby, his wife listens to the podcast, so we gave him the opportunity to say something his wife does that annoys him that he hasn't said to her. What one thing does Claire do?
Does Claire listen?
As a parent.
Yes, she does. She does, yeah. Claire loves it. What one thing does Claire do that annoys me? I generally am struggling to think of. I've got it. I do have the thing. It's not really a noise, but this is definitely true. That when we go out to a social thing together as parents, I'm always the one who's entertaining the children. But I don't just mean my children. I mean, it seems to be that I'm lumbered with lots and lots of children when we go a thing. So we went out for Sunday lunch maybe a fortnight ago with some people. And then there was a point at the end where I was down one end of the table. Like, you know, like at a wedding, you have a kid's table.
Yeah.
It was me and six children and someone's baby. I didn't even know who the baby was. There was a baby with us. And everyone else was getting pissed at the other end of the table, like slapping each other's backs and we were well of a time. And I'm playing sort of match the farmyard animals.
Oh, that is annoying, isn't it?
Children.
Yeah.
So that would be it. But then I would, it doesn't really annoy me. But
is that Claire's fault?
No. So to be honest, I don't think it is. I think that's more on me. So I don't think that's even her. I think that's more, the question should be, what sort of part of my personality annoys me most? And that would be my absolute
desperation to
not be
desperation to please children.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, it is what it is. But I wouldn't say really.
I sometimes see, if I'm in a social situation where I can't be bothered and there's kids, I sometimes see entertaining the kids as a really good out.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But on other times, you'll just be at a drinks in an afternoon and you've got a 2-year-old and they just want to push a pram up and down a stair for an hour inside while everyone's outside at a barbecue. That is the slowest time ever moves.
No, but that's good, though, if you don't want to be with the other people. If you don't want to be the other people, that's the perfect
job. If you don't
want
to be there, it's great.
Yes.
If you do want to be there, it's heartbreaking. Yeah. You can just see in the distance everyone having a wonderful time. Through the kind of French doors, you can see they're all partying away in the garden.
They're all kissing and dancing. And
you're trying to
stop
your child falling over.
Yeah, no, definitely. Oh. I missed the first goal, Luke Shaw's goal in the final, the Euros final. Because
I've got it on catch up. Yeah. Spoiler alert! I've got that on catch up.
Please don't. Yeah. Don't
I haven't watched the final yet. I'm waiting for it. So you missed it.
You're too drunk to remember it, Rob.
I was upstairs trying. This is my own child, of course, admittedly, but upstairs trying to sort of settle Pip and get Pip back to sleep. Of course, I was trying to get one of my children to sleep when the one moment of joy in 90 minutes was occurring. But it is.
Did you got there back in time for the penalties?
I did. Yeah. Should have stayed up there, to be honest. But
Oh, cheers, Tom. Oh, it's been amazing. Thank you so much.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Hopefully you get some sleep.
And do you know what? I reckon you're one good sleep away from it just clicking.
Yes. Yeah. In the one plus thing from Charlie this morning, he did a poo in the potty this morning, pointed at it and said, look, it's a number 7. So he's learning his numbers. And he looked at it and it was the shape of the 7.
Oh, that's good.
So something's happening. So he's clearly bright.
He thought it looked like a number 7.
It did.
That wasn't his way of saying a number 1 or a number 2.
No, it was a number 7. It looked exactly like a number 7. He was correct. So he may not be sleeping, but he knows his numbers. So that's good.
That's good.
He can shit up to 10. You don't want to cling on to it.
The zero is quite tricky.
Tom Crane.
That isn't it. That's a story, isn't it?
I can't believe his kid doesn't... The sleep situation at 3.5. Poor Claire and Tom.
It's insane, isn't it? It is so extreme. You know when you're like, I've just got to get to 6 months. Imagine I've just got to get to 4.
4 years, just 4 years. I know exactly what my dad would have done with me with that graffiti. He would have gone, oh, fucking hell, and just drove past it. And then I would have immediately cried. And then he would have had to drive the long way forever. And then my mum would have told him off.
It's a really difficult...
I say my dad, that's what I would have done.
Yeah, it's a really difficult one to know whether you should go, oh, just man up, I'm not going to be your graffiti avoider. I know that, like, the other day when we were going out, my daughter wanted to take her toy pram. And for me, I was just like, Rose, like, she's absolutely not taking it. We'll end up carrying it around. And I was going, oh, God, she's going to cry when we tell her. And if Rose hadn't been there, that pram was 100% coming with us. And I was 100% carrying it around all day just to avoid her crying. And then Rose put her foot down. We didn't take the pram. And she'd forgotten about it literally by the time we're in the car.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think you can overdo it or underdo it, but it's difficult. It's hard to know, and everyone's different. But, yeah, Jesus Christ. It's a lot of waking up.
I've just got a text from Claire, Tom's girlfriend, that says, I can't believe Tom dodged the what annoys you most about Claire question. Poor. She must have been listening at the door.
Or maybe. It's just you can hear everything in the house. No wonder they're not fucking sleeping.
Oh, by the way, they live in one big room.
One big room on the middle of a roundabout.
Yeah, with huge windows, which the sun bakes.
They live at Clackett Lane. They live at Clackett Lane motorway services off the M25. But no, that's great, though. Good lad,
thank
Tom.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you to everyone for listening. And we will see you on
Tuesday.